From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. A Utah man was sentenced to 30 years in federal prison for killing his wife while on an Alaska cruise. 43-year-old Kenneth Manzanares on Thursday was also sentenced to 5 years of supervised release if he finishes serving out his federal prison term. Manzanares, his 39-year-old wife Christy, their three daughters, and other relatives were on board the Emerald Princess as it cruised up through southeast Alaska waters in July 2017. During a plea agreement hearing in February 2020, Manzanares admitted that he and his wife got into an argument in their cabin. Christy said she wanted a divorce, and she also wanted Kenneth to get off the ship in Juneau and go home to Utah. Prosecutors say two of their daughters were then told to leave the room during the argument, but they were prevented from re-entering when they later heard Christy scream. Through an adjoining room's balcony, their daughters witnessed Kenneth assaulting and beating Christy. Manzanares admitted during the plea agreement hearing that he struck his wife with two closed fists. Prosecutors say she died from blunt force trauma to her head and face. Manzanares originally pled not guilty in U.S. District Court in Juneau to a first-degree murder charge, but during that February 2020 plea agreement hearing, he pled guilty to second-degree murder. And we have a correction to a story that aired yesterday. In a story about Glacier Bay National Park and Preserve's finances, we said that most of the park's revenue comes from cruise ship companies. It actually comes from fees from individual cruise ship passengers. In other news, for months, officials with the Central Council, Tlingit, and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska followed along as the Juneau Assembly developed new restrictions on the use and sale of fireworks. The tribe started Juneau's only licensed fireworks retail shop last year. Parts of the proposed policies butted up against the tribe's sovereignty and nearly drove it to take the city to court. KTOO's Jeremy Shea reports.
At times, Tlingit and Haida tribal officials were outraged, not over limits on the use of loud fireworks that the tribe sells, but because some city officials brushed aside the tribe's assertion of its sovereignty on the land where it runs its fireworks shop. Take this exchange between Assemblymembers Greg Smith and Lauren Jones during an April Assembly Committee meeting.
The tribe was building a building or housing on tribal land. Would they still need to get permits from community development and building permits and those type of things?
Mr. Smith, I think the answer is no, they would not. But I don't know of any tribal lands, federally recognized tribal lands within the borough.
Tlingit and Haida President Richard Peterson said it felt like a personal attack on the tribe.
It's about the most irresponsible and incorrect statement I've heard. It's offensive.
Peterson was speaking during a recent Tlingit and Haida Executive Council meeting.
We're selling fireworks on Indian allotment. That is restricted land. That is Indian land.
Bear with me here. These statements will take some unpacking. Indian land isn't a well-defined term, though the tribe says Peterson was referring to a federal code that categorically defines Indian allotments as part of Indian country. That definition applies to a chapter on criminal codes and procedures. In Alaska, there's more than a century of federal laws and court cases that further define Indian allotment and Indian country, plus the rights and responsibilities attached to them. Indian allotments and Indian country are separate distinctions in case law and codes that often overlap, though tribal sovereignty is clearest in Indian country. Assemblymember Jones, with the city attorney's agreement, was essentially saying there is no Indian country in Juneau. Peterson says this particular land on Douglas Island is both an Indian allotment and Indian country, so the tribe is sovereign there. There's another legal wrinkle. Tlingit and Haida doesn't own the land. The tribe leases it from the heirs of a man who owned it by way of an Indian allotment, also known in Alaska as a Native allotment. Native allotments can't be taxed or easily transferred or sold. They're supposed to stay with the original grantee and their heirs. There were at least two elements of the Assembly's fireworks legislation that challenged the tribe's sovereignty. One would have required the tribe to get a permit from the city to continue selling fireworks in Juneau. The Assembly sidestepped that issue by exempting federally recognized tribes. The other issue was over the city's sales tax. Here's Assemblymember Michelle Hale and City Attorney Robert Palmer.
Does the city and borough of Juneau have the authority to assess sales tax on a business that is occurring on a Native allotment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Ms. Hale. That's a really tough question. And the reason why I
Palmer didn't have a definitive answer, but has said the rights the lease affords the tribe may not be clear cut. City codes usually exempt the sales of nonprofits and tribes from sales tax. But Juneau Assemblymember Lauren Jones pushed to have the tax applied to fireworks.
We all are going to be impacted by every firework they sell. It's going to impact every place in this community. We should collect some revenue for the response to that impact.
President Peterson bristled at the suggestion that the tribe doesn't contribute enough to the community.
I'm pissed off, and they got what they wanted because now I'm putting on my war paint. You want to be good neighbors and good partners? You don't come at us with racist, ignorant statements like you want to now tax an Indian allotment. Which you can't, so good luck on that. We'll see you in court. That's how I feel about it.
He said the tribe has won a series of court cases asserting tribal rights. As for the tribe's contributions to Juneau, he said the tribe is responsible for more than 300 jobs and brought more than $44 million into the local economy last year. And Peterson said the tribe provides essential services that the city government otherwise would have to. The assembly had its final vote on the sales tax question on May 24th. Jones was resolute.
If it has to be litigated, then I think it has to be litigated.
This time, Jones was the only assembly member who voted to lean into the conflict. Clinkett and Haida's fireworks sales won't be taxed. The Juneau Assembly did adopt new restrictions on the use of fireworks that will take effect ahead of 4th of July celebrations. Clinkett and Haida plans to reopen Smoke Signals fireworks in mid-June. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
The University of Alaska is launching a system-wide program geared toward retaining more Alaska Native students at the school and increasing the number of Alaska Native staff members. KTUO's Bridget Dowd reports.
Sarah Peel, whose Haida name is Tuktruk A, is a student at University of Alaska Southeast. She transferred from the Fairbanks campus, where she says the professors didn't make her feel welcome.
They were all white. They were not originally from Alaska. They were from Lower 48 or a different country. And they had little to no knowledge of whose land they were on. And they did not care when I brought that up in our classrooms.
Peel is talking to me over Zoom while bouncing a 7-month-old boy on her lap. She says that's another thing about her culture her professors tend to not understand.
A lot of Alaska Native students are not traditional students, meaning like they're not right out of high school. They're not single. They're not, a lot of them have kids.
She says her experience at the Juneau campus has been an improvement, but there could be a reason for that.
I've primarily switched to Alaska Native Studies and Languages. So all of my professors are Alaska Native, and I've kind of just like retreated into this little safe space.
In the past, Peel was often the only Alaska Native student in her classes, and more often the only Alaska Native woman in her classes. She says that was intimidating, and experiences like that could be contributing to the lack of retention among students like her. That's part of the reason why she decided to help get the Alaska Native Success Initiative off the ground at UAS.
I'm thankful that the chancellor and a couple other non-Alaska Native people who were on that committee were open to change and open to recognizing how they're comfortable in their whiteness.
Alaska Natives represent about 20% of the UAS student population, but only about 7% of its faculty and staff. UAS Chancellor Karen Carey says she wants those numbers to be closer together. That would mean hiring more Alaska Native staff.
You know, just in terms of looking at things like hiring practices, are we really making sure that we are getting the most diverse pool of candidates that we can?
This week, the Board of Regents will be hearing the three campuses present their plans for accomplishing those goals.
We'll also be doing some training for all of our faculty and staff, because if you're coming here from, say, Chicago or Kansas or Texas, and you're moving here to work, you may not know anything about the Alaska Native populations.
Rinalda Cadiente Brown is the Associate Vice Chancellor for Alaska Native Programs at UAS. She played a big part in coming up with the plan they'll present to the board.
There's not one size that fits all for any Alaska Native student. The course of study, what they bring to the university setting, the demands on them from the goals and desires that they have and the levels of support. There are so many variables that we hope by this work that we do our best to improve this system so that we have basically an answer of support for anyone and everyone that needs it.
Once the campus plans are approved, changes could come as soon as the fall semester. In Juneau, I'm Bridget Dowd.
And this is KTOO News.